The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. He's John Sheeran. I'm Anthony Cazenza. You can get this show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Spotify. It's also on the Megaphone platform. You can also get it on YouTube. All of our content is there, and you can join us live every episode that we record through our YouTube channel and Google Hangouts. But you can get it there. You can also get all our stuff on cincyjungle.com. We've got a lot of questions, both in the live YouTube chat as well as some that have been queued up for a little while throughout the week. People been hitting up the OBI line, so we're going to try and get to those in just a little while towards the end of the show. And you can text us at any point, 949-542-6241 is the number. We will be taking potentially some calls towards the end of the show if we've got some time and all these questions permit. So you can call us towards the end of the program. Otherwise, text us throughout, and we'll try and get to your question on the air. John, it's time to kind of put ourselves on the spot a little bit here. Every year, people are looking for that diamond in the rough. The sleeper picks, the guys that you can get in the middle rounds, the late rounds that can come in and not only be, you know, a role player, an effective starter, maybe even a hidden star. Now, sleeper is a relative term to a lot of people, you know. Sometimes a late first round pick to somebody is a sleeper because they weren't expected to be a first round pick. Sometimes it's, you know, the end of day two. Sometimes it's the seventh round, whatever the case may be. But there are varying definitions. I wanted to not just say just in general sleeper picks. I wanted us to talk about sleeper picks as it pertains to the Bengals in terms of their positional needs, what they did and didn't do in free agency, and, you know, just overall guys that may be getting overlooked because of other big names at their position in this draft. So I don't know if we want to, you know, we maybe go two or three each because we're a little, you know, there's only so much time we can talk about this, but maybe we go back and forth. So I'll let you tee it off here. Do you have one, regardless of position, I guess, but do you have one that maybe not a lot of Bengals fans, Bengals outlets are talking, mock drafts are talking about? Again, not necessarily for the first round pick, but someone that could come in, maybe a third round pick, a fourth round pick, or later, that could come in and really surprise some people, especially early on.
Okay. I'll start with going on the offensive side of the ball. So there's been a lot of talk this year about tight ends and how deep this tight end class is, and how if you don't get one of the Iowa guys in the first round, there's plenty of other guys that you can get on day two, maybe even day three, that can provide similar production early on in their careers. And the scouting combine was kind of disappointing for a number of tight ends. I think Irv Smith was one of the more disappointing performances there. He didn't really show off a lot of athleticism, even though he's quite young and has the Alabama pedigree. But one guy who stood out in the combine – and who also stood out in the Senior Bowl was a guy named Foster Moreau. He was a tight end from LSU, and this is going to be shocking, but he didn't really produce at LSU, you know. But you can imagine a pass catcher not putting up prolific numbers on LSU's offense. But it was true. He only accounted for, I think, 10%, 11% of LSU's passing offense, which compared to other tight ends is kind of in that starter range, that little below average, around the 50th percentile range for most tight ends. So he wasn't overly productive, but he blew away every drill at the combine, tested at or above the 90th percentile in terms of speed, explosion, and flexibility for his size. And I think that's incredibly important for tight ends and how we can find the next, like, George Kittle or the next, you know, not Travis Kelce, but other mid-round tight ends that end up producing, you know, well into their careers, because tight ends are not overly dominant as rookies. They kind of progress into the role as they learn the offense because they're charged with doing a lot of things. You know, they're blocking and pass and run blocking. They're also going up against, you know, safeties and coverage and doing all sorts of things. So it takes a while for them to kind of emulate themselves in the offense. But when you have that elite athleticism at all three levels, it really gives you a leg up in your development and helps you produce a little bit more early on. And when you're looking at the Bengals, you have a guy like Uzomah who you have as like a solid starter. You still have Byford here as a 1 year on a 1 year contract, but you can't rely on him to stay healthy. So you kind of want to have that athletic blocker who can also get some yards after catch to help out Uzomah. And I think in the fourth or maybe even fifth round, a guy like Morrow is that athletic high upside tight end that not a lot of people are talking about because of how deep this tight end class is. But I think if there's going to be a next George Kittle type tight end in this class, I think he's probably where you got to look at, because he's right behind Noah Fant is the most athletic tight end in this class. And I think his production capabilities, it goes beyond what he showed at LSU because of the limitations of that offense.
So I will also, and that's a good pick. Definitely aware of him, and yeah, that's a good pick there. I'm going to stay at this position, and I got to give my brother credit because maybe he had a little bit of alumni homerism here, but he pointed me in the direction of this kid that I really didn't know too much about. His name is Kahale Waring, or Waring, Warring. About 6'6", 252. The guy ran a 4.67 at the combine at that size. That's not too much to sneeze at. Now, that's not blazing fast, but that's decent for that size. Can move a little bit, can catch a little bit. And if you read about him, he only has, I think it was 7 career touchdowns, 8 career touchdowns with the Aztecs at San Diego State. But a guy that is one of those guys that as he's coming into the NFL, his arc is starting to go. He's at the climbing of his arc. He's not plateauing. He hasn't shown his best tape, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And the reason why is because he came to football late. And if you read about him, he was, you know, he played water polo and basketball and all kinds of different sports. And those are sports that are obviously different than football, but those two sports in general are ones where boxing out is a big deal. Catching the ball, blocking out defenders, being physical in different ways, and it served some tight ends well. It's a little unclear as to where he might be drafted because he is still kind of a project guy. Now, I'm going to say this, even though he ran a decent 40 at 4.67, he is not the flex option like a Tyler Eifert. He is not a TJ Hawkinson. He is not, you know, he's not one of these guys that you can always put in the slot and he's going to, you know, streak down the field all the time. But he is a guy who will help you out as a blocker. He is a more traditional style tight end, an inline blocker that'll help out, chip in the pass game, and move the sticks. And I think he could be a good red zone guy. I don't know that he'll ever be a superstar. You know, as I looked around and at various other scouting reports, NFL.com said that he could be a projected starter for a club down the road in terms of his abilities and all of that. Kahale Waring, that's a guy at the tight end spot that I've been made aware of recently, and I think is a guy that could be beneficial to the Bengals, especially because that group seems to always experience injuries, and this kid has a lot of upside.
Yeah, I remember hearing his name like right around, I think, the combine when Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M kind of disappointed a little bit. He was a name that kind of ascended himself, so that's definitely a name to watch during day two. I'll switch over to the defensive side of the ball. Pass rusher, I believe, is a bigger need for for the Bengals than I think most. And early in the draft process, I was an advocate for an edge rusher in the first round. And still, if a guy like a Brian Burns is there in the at 11th row, I think the Bengals should seriously consider him. But say they, you know, they table that position for maybe like round three or four, maybe specifically round three, because round three seems to be, at least in the Marvin Lewis era, that prime spot for a defensive end. And I think one that should end up being there and should definitely be considered is Max Crosby, edge rusher from Eastern Michigan. Honestly, when you look at Crosby's and Nick Bosa's athleticism testing, both at their size, it's pretty damn equal in terms of speed, explosion, and flexibility. Crosby's extremely flexible, and that definitely shows up on tape. And you're thinking, okay, Eastern Michigan didn't really play much tough competition. The first tape I saw of him was against Purdue. Again, Purdue's not a powerhouse by any means, but still more talented than Eastern Michigan competition traditionally, and he dominated that game. And again, Purdue doesn't have any spectacular tackle prospects, but he's just the guy that will just make his mark whenever and wherever he's lined up, and he mainly lined up as strong side defensive end, usually in the left end spot. And you can just see that athleticism testing on display in each and every snap. And it's kind of a cliche, but he's just kind of one of those guys that just doesn't take plays off. And that's where his massive production came from in terms of just playing a ton of snaps, both in run defense and pass rushing. And you'd like to see that athleticism translate onto the field. And you talk about a guy like Jordan Willis, who was also drafted in the third round by the Bengals, who he tested tremendously at the combine for his size, but that athleticism didn't really show up on tape at Kansas State, and it hasn't really translated into the NFL in 2 years. But Crosby, I think, has more natural athleticism to him. I think he's got tremendous hand usage for a guy who's only 22 years old, and obviously you don't produce at an amazing level like he did, even against, you know, competition of Eastern Michigan. But I think that before the combine, he was maybe in that fifth or sixth round range as kind of like, you know, one of those surprise sleeper guys. But now I think he has set himself to that top 100 discussion. And if the Bengals haven't addressed pass rusher in the first two rounds, I think he's a name that should definitely be on the radar by then, because I think he could fill in at along with Carl Lawson as maybe those like nickel pass rushers behind a Carlos Dunlap or a Sam Hubbard, and give him some type of burst and flexibility off the edge, because that's just a variable that they just don't have right now. And especially with Lawson coming off a torn ACL, there's a lot of questions with their pass rush and just their defensive line in general. And getting a guy like Crosby who can win with his hands and also win with athleticism, he's proven production, proven athleticism. I think he's a guy that they should definitely keep their eyes on.
I like it. I'm going to stick with the West Coast, and this may not be a sleeper name to some, because, you know, if you're a mock draft fiend, you've probably seen this name mentioned to them a couple of times. I know you have mentioned him. I want to give you credit, John. You have mentioned him. I think it was all the way back, maybe when you called in from the Senior Bowl, you may have mentioned this guy, Chuma Adoga. Yep. The offensive tackle from USC, and I apologize if I'm stealing him from you here, John, but when you started mentioning him, I had known him just from watching Pac-12 football and watching USC, and I had known him, and I wasn't overly enamored with him just in general, because the USC offensive line over the past, in 2018 and really starting in 2017, had really taken a step back in terms of what they've done, what they were able to do in the run game. And obviously Sam Darnold not being there, that was an effect just on the offense overall. But this is a kid who's probably going to be there in the third round, maybe fourth round. You can get him if you're the Bengals, you know, upper middle parts of those rounds potentially. And you may have an Anthony Collins plus type of player on your hands. A guy who has some versatility, some flexibility to play either tackle spot, some athleticism, and can be on a roster for a while. I don't know that he will ever be a star player, a starter. I don't know that that he will be a, you know, a 10-year starter on a team, but like an Anthony Collins, maybe even a bit more, he can be a guy that can start well for you in a pinch. He can start in, and not just a game, but a handful of games if you need it. And he's got tools to develop. He has to add a little bulk, and I think the knock on him is that he's very able in the pass protection game, but he needs to do a little bit more in the run side of things, which is a polar opposite of some of the other guys, Bobby Hart, Alex Redmond, that the Bengals put out there on the right side of the line last year. But, you know, if they decide to forego a Cody Ford, a Jonah Williams, you know, these guys at the pick 11, maybe even the top of the second round, and they go maybe quarterback, linebacker early, this could be a guy that's in discussion in the third round, fourth round. I hate to say it, if you want to give Bobby Hart a year to stick there at the right tackle spot, you can have this guy to develop. If Hart struggles, you can have this guy come off the bench and help you out, right tackle. Like I said, he has a little flexibility for left tackle, right tackle versatility, I think. And one of those decent mid-round picks that could be on a team for a while and help out a team, especially from a depth perspective. So, again, not a household name, not necessarily an unfamiliar name, but one that just is not mentioned with the Juwan Taylors, the Jonah Williams, all those guys. So that's another guy for me.
Okay, I'll finish it off. Since you went with your school, I'll finish it off with a guy from my school.
Love it.
I'll stick with the defensive line. I think defensive tackle is probably another position that we could see the Bengals taking somewhere in this draft. Probably not, if not at all, over in the first round, maybe not even in the second round, the third through fifth round range. Let's just throw out the fourth or fifth round, I guess, for this guy. Coming into the season for the Cincinnati Bearcats, their defense ended up really playing really well, definitely the strength of their team. I think they finished top 20. And coming into the season, it was Marquise Copeland who was like the front headlining name on the defensive front, and ended up being Cortez Broughton, who ended up producing at the level that I think a lot of people Copeland thought he was going to produce. And Broughton definitely brought the production relative to Cincinnati's overall defensive line and their overall production. Just a tremendous first step, tremendous range, which I think is a problem with the Bengals' current crop of defensive tackles. You have guys like Ryan Glasgow and Andrew Billings who also have a good initial jump off the snap, but kind of take themselves out of plays. And whether it be, you know, short wingspan or short arms, their overall tackle radius just isn't kind of there. And I don't think that's really an issue with Broughton. He's able to put himself in position to make plays at and behind the line of scrimmage and end up finishing plays and wrapping up running backs behind the line of gain. So the production's there. He wasn't invited to the combine, unfortunately, but he did test extremely well his pro day. I think he ran near a close 5 second flat 40 at about 293 pounds and 6'2". So you have the overall athleticism, and he also did some decent jumps. So he had the athleticism, he had the production. Cincinnati's definitely not a powerhouse school, so he's not going to get the clout to be a top 100 pick. He might not even be picked until like maybe the sixth or seventh round. But when you're in the fifth round and the analytics checks all the boxes in terms of production and athleticism, and there's solid tapes to go there as well, I think those are just the things that you're looking for. And if they haven't taken a defensive lineman at that point, I think Cortez Broughton is a good name to remember. Obviously, Taylor should know him because he was, I think, a sophomore when Taylor was there as the director of player development there at the University of Cincinnati, so there should be a connection there. Obviously, Doug Roosevelt, who was also in the UC staff, he knows him as well. So I think when the Bengals have their local pro day, Broughton will be brought in there and work out for them. So there should be some connections there. And if, again, fifth or sixth round, if they're looking at the board, and I think he should be near the top if they haven't addressed that position yet.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm going to get to a couple of quick ones actually that are from our listeners. So I'm cheating a little bit here, John. I hope that's okay.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I think I don't really want to see the Bengals keep 3 6th round picks, but
yeah,
I think
five.
Excuse me. I don't want to see them keep all those picks personally, but I think if they've done some good work in those first handful of rounds, that's where you can get some of these guys in that fifth, sixth round, where you can kind of get a little creative, get these project guys with high upside and, you know, like the kid you were just talking about. So, you know, I think at that point, then maybe, you know, you try and find a diamond in a rough by using all of those picks. Real quickly, we had one from Dan from Tennessee. And by the way, this is not me. This is a West Coast kid. This is not me talking about this one. This is Dan from Tennessee who texted us saying, love the show. Thanks, Dan. We love you too, buddy. Diehard Bengal fan. Sleeper, Ryan Pope, offensive tackle from San Diego State. 6'7", 315 pounds. He fluctuates between 315 and 320. But 35 1/4-inch arms, Houdet. The problem with San Diego State is that they are just not known as a high-quality football program. They also play in a weak conference. So a lot of these guys that do come out of there just don't get some of the notoriety. But project guy, big kid. But project guy, again, one of these guys that's probably going to be there towards the end of the draft, maybe undrafted, but I don't know about that. But one of those guys that you just take a flyer on. And it's obviously it's a position of need. I don't think he has, even though there's been a little bit of a trade-off between what right tackles and left tackles do in the NFL, I don't know that he is a true left tackle, but at the next level. But big kid that I think, you've got some clay to mold there. So that was a good one from Dan from Tennessee. And God bless him, Ken Dipple. From who's in the YouTube chat. He also contacted us this week and told us about this kid last week. There will be a post coming up on CincyJungle.com. Old Bart Williams, right? We were saying he sounded like a professor's name.
No, it's a fake name.
Grand Valley State. But, impressive resume from the kid. I think he had 122 total touchdowns, including one season where he had 45 touchdown passes, over 10,000 career yards. As I did some research per Ken's urging, and we appreciate it, but it's a guy that was just not on my radar, but as I did some research on him, impressive statistics, obviously D2 kid. He's got some good size and all of that. Unfortunately, most reports have him at the undrafted stage going forward in the NFL, probably a guy who's going to be a practice squad guy or a guy that looks to latch on a final roster spot, potentially on a team that keeps three quarterbacks instead of two. But a guy that may bounce around a little bit towards the first year or two of his career, but could be a decent backup as he matures and all of that. Like I said, there's a lot of statistics. There's a lot of good things to like there on paper, but I don't know that that's a guy that's going to be a viable NFL option down the road. But impressive resume, at least from a statistical standpoint, even though he's a small school guy. And he may be a guy that the Bengals, even if they get another developmental guy, I mean, they're going to keep another one on the practice squad. So he may be a guy there as well. So I appreciate the heads up on both those guys. I was familiar with Pope a little bit, but I became familiar with Bart Williams after Ken told us about him last week. But those are some of the sleepers that we have. Yours again, John, just list them real quick.
So I went Foster Moreau, Max, Foster Moreau, the tight end from LSU, Max Crosby, the edge rusher from Eastern Michigan, Cortez Broaden, the defensive tackle from the University of Cincinnati.
The University of Cincinnati. Yeah, and I had Kahale Waring, the tight end from San Diego State, Chuma Adoga, the offensive lineman from USC, and then we had two other suggestions from our listeners, Ryan Pope, offensive tackle from San Diego State, and Bartholomew Williams. Bartholomew. That's a great name. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. You just heard us talking about some sleepers. There's plenty more. We may even bring it up again as we get closer to the draft. You never know. But those are some of our sleepers to watch in terms of Bengal needs and guys that we have researched a bit about coming into this week. You can get this show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Google Play, on the Megaphone platform. You can get it on YouTube and CincyJungle.com.